We're looking at Psalm 26 today, Psalm 26. And if I were to give it a subject, I would call it a checklist for dedication. A checklist for dedication. And that is dedication unto the Lord. So let's read the first verse, and I'll read from the New King James. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Let's read verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. Now, the central theme of this psalm, of Psalm 26, it is about David's dedication to the Lord. There are several different categories which we can list, and there are several individual points. We won't count them, but we could list up to 13 different individual points of dedication. They're very straightforward. They can easily be used as a checklist that we can keep as a list in the back of our Bible or something, that when we pray prayers of dedication to the Lord, we can reference them. So let's go verse by verse and see some of them. We begin with verse 1. In the King James, it says, judge me, a psalm of David. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. So David is worn down. He's tired. There's been false accusations against him, injustice from men against him. And now he goes to the righteous judge. He goes to the God of all justice. He goes to God as his defender. And he knows that he can go to the one who has eyes of fire, the one that can see the very depths of his heart. And he appeals to God to step in and vindicate him. And he says, I ask with a good conscience. I've walked uprightly. I've walked blamelessly. I've walked in integrity. I have trusted, O Lord. My faith is in you, and my confidence is in you, Lord. So his plea for help, we must not see it as based upon works, but upon faith and commitment and dedication to God. We could say that David here is speaking about his dedication to the Lord. I have walked in integrity, and I will continue to walk in integrity. In the past and in the future, I plan to walk in integrity. So he truly trusts the Lord. And he then says, one of the old writers makes this comment. He says, it's as though David is saying, if this was my permanent lot, this accusations, all these accusations against me, all this unfairness from men, it would be inconsistent with your righteous judgments, O Lord. This is not your righteous character to let me suffer like this. And the first verse now gives us our first heading. Our first heading, a commitment to watchfulness and being spiritually awake, being spiritually attentive. And David said, I have walked in integrity. He's done it in the past, and he'll continue to do it. And the original Hebrew of this word, integrity, it's quite a rich word. It has the meaning completeness. I have walked in completeness, fullness, innocence, simplicity. I will make sure that I walk in completeness in all departments of my life. My whole life will be complete serving you, O Lord. And the question is, are we dedicating ourselves fully to the Lord like David did, completely and wholly, and offering our bodies a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service? We cannot be inconsistent as believers who don't care about walking in completeness. Every area of my life must be dedicated to the Lord. Not only just Sundays, no secret sin. That's what David says. I have dedicated myself to you, and I will dedicate myself to be complete, to walk in the fullness of your statutes. I'll be careful not to excuse my weak character, my imperfections, things that I fall short of. I won't get used to them. I won't excuse them. I won't let them go. I'm dedicated to dealing with these imperfections in my character. I want to be complete. And he's asking God to work in his life and cause him to grow where he is weak. And we too should do that. We should never excuse it and say, well, I'm just like that. I can't help it. Number one, we have walked in integrity. Number two, I have trusted also in the Lord. I have clung to the Lord. I've held fast to the Lord. I have confided in the Lord. This is the second rule of dedication. I hold fast. I'm dedicated to. I will not let go. When we face trouble, when we are feeling anxious, when we are feeling depressed, the solution is to be quick to run to the source of our help. Our help cometh from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. I will act quickly when I face difficulty. I will act quickly when I face temptation. I will act quickly when difficulties come. And failure to do so will result in spiritual stumbling. I will quickly seek God's help. That's what David is saying. I will turn to his word. I will turn to prayer. I will turn to repentance when I make mistakes. I will walk in faith. I will take immediate steps to correct my course and walk faithfully with the Lord. This is my dedication. When I'm convicted, I will immediately make right. And then it says, therefore, I shall not slide. Therefore, I shall not slide. Now, you'll notice, therefore, is in italics. And the translators thought they would add that word to help us to understand better. But it wasn't really necessary. Actually, it's not needed because this is the third declaration. And David is saying, I will not slip. I will not waver. I'll not be drawn aside. I'll not be distracted. Now, this is very practical for us because maybe we decide we're going to read some scripture. Maybe we decide we're going to pray. And immediately our mind draws us aside and reminds us of all the unanswered emails, of all the unanswered WhatsApp messages, and all the phone calls that we have to make. So instead of having devotions, we answer all the emails and phone calls and WhatsApp messages. And David is saying, I shall not slide or slip from my intention. I'm dedicated to do what I intended to do. I will not allow myself to be drawn aside. I will not be distracted. So this verse 1 provides us with three clear rules to dedication. for complete Christian dedication, being wholehearted, trusting in the Lord, quick to run to Him when I need help, when I face trouble, when I face temptation or weakness. I seek Him without delay. I remain watchful and I'm not drawn away. I'm not distracted and caused to stumble. So this, we could even preach a whole message on this, but let's move on to verse 2. Verse 2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. And this brings me to the next category, another category. David is saying, every area of my life, I will dedicate every area of my life to the Lord. Let an inspection be made to determine my effectiveness. So test me, scrutinize me in every area, Lord, and try my reins and my heart. It's a prayer of dedication. It's a prayer of wanting to please the Lord. And he's saying, reveal, Lord, anything that's not pleasing to you. Reveal anything, Lord. And so to get bigger and greater understanding of this phrase, try my reins and my heart, we compare scripture with scripture, and we see it again in Psalm 16 and verse 7. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. My reins also instruct me. And yeah, reins refers to the inner man, refers to the mind, our deepest thoughts, our affections, our feelings. So we are learning, yeah, that we dedicate our mind to the Lord. We dedicate our thought life to the Lord. We give Him our thoughts. We give Him our imaginations. We give Him our daydreams. And we, every thought we bring into submission to Christ, we think in a way which honors Him and brings glory to Him. Do I check my affections when they run after worldly things? Do I fix my attention on spiritual things or earthly things? What am I doing? Am I just allowing my mind to go wherever it wants to go? No, says David, I examine me, prove me. I will follow your ways, O Lord, your ways. And he wants to keep a check on his affections. Psalm 26, verse 3, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I've walked in thy truth. Ask yourself, what's before your eyes? Do you think about God's loving kindness? Do you think about God's faithfulness? Do you walk in truth? The Hebrew literally means stability, to stand firm in truth, to be nourished by truth, something I hold fast to that gives me strength and skill. So David is saying, I hold fast to this truth which will give me strength and skill. I'm dedicated to giving my time to and my thinking and my thought process. I'm dedicated to giving it to the eternal things, meditating on the loving kindness of the Lord, meditating on the faithfulness of the Lord. Do I reflect on kind answers that God gives me to prayer? Do I think about it and marvel? The Lord heard and the Lord answered. And the truth is, He has shown me many things and He has nourished me with manna from heaven. He has nourished us with manna from heaven, bread that gives us strength. I'm dedicated to keeping spiritual things eternal things before my eyes. That's what David is saying, focused on eternity. Yes, we live in a real world. Yes, we face temporal things every day, but our main focus is on eternity. Verse 4, I've not sat with vain persons, neither will I go with dissemblers. I've not sat with or returned to sit with and make it my dwelling place. I've turned away from the company of evildoers, lovers of evil. You know, we are known by the company that we keep. We are recognized by the company that we keep. If we have kept apart from the wicked, it will be evidence in our favor, and our character will not be able to be accused. If a man always avoids dishonest company, accusations that he's joined their evil practices can't be levied at him. If a person never attends a meeting, how can you say he's the one that revealed the secrets of the meeting? You can't say that. So company, David is separated from bad company, from vain persons. He's separated from shallow talk, from loud and boastful talkers, unclean talk. David says he would not go with dissemblers. What are those? Those are hypocrites. They are pretenders, deceptive men that hide their true motives and their true thoughts. They hide them. They're betrayers. The dedicated one avoids corrupt influence. We avoid corrupt influence. And let's take this, make it a little bit more practical. This includes watching television or scrolling on our phones, because we know it's got a corrupting influence. Don't make light of good morals. Don't blaspheme and belittle. So we switch on a TV program and we see that it's blaspheming. We see that it's belittling the servants of God. We see that it's unclean. Don't let it influence you. Turn it off. Turn it off. I'm not talking about watching something that's wholesome, but I'm talking about things that will warp your thinking. I'm talking about things that will cause cravings for wrong things. Part of our dedication is that I do not sit and I do not return to dwelling with vain things and deceitful things and things with hidden motives and hidden agendas. We do witness to these people. We don't cut them off completely. Being a believer, I will have sympathy for the lost, for the deceived. I'll desire to see them saved. I'll feel for them. I'll care for them. But I will do what God requires of me for them. I won't mix with them and partake of their wrong actions. I won't partake of their wrong conversation. I cannot adopt their policies. I cannot take their advice. I cannot adopt their worldliness. And even today, if you are honest, even in the church world, even in some churches, worldliness must be shunned. David says, or we must be able to say, I've not sat with deceivers, theological liberals who deny foundational truths, theological liberals who say Christ was just a good man, Christ is not the Son of God. No, I cannot sit with those people and listen to their teaching. Whole churches today, you can go on internet and you can read their doctrinal statement. It looks quite good. It looks impressive. But they say the right things. But they don't do the right things. They're not living the right things. And there's so much worldly thinking in the church that it's hard to recognize them as Christians. It's hard to tell them apart. They look just like worldly people. They talk just like worldly people. They behave just like worldly people. There's no difference. So David is saying, don't spend time with them, and certainly don't let them influence your life. Let God's word influence your life. Verse 5, I've hated the congregation of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. So it may sound very strong. David says, I've hated. But what was the word hated? The Hebrew carries this meaning. It's a very, very deep meaning. It has two meanings: pierce, prick, or thorn, and seed. And when we combine this, the meaning is a thorn seed, a prickly seed that sticks on us. I don't know if you've ever walked through a field and you get blackjacks on you, or something that a seed that sticks upon your clothes, and you walk home and you dust them off and they grow in your home. Well, David is saying, I will not carry these seeds. I will not go to a place where these seeds stick on me and I carry them and spread them. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to avoid them. And he says also, these evildoers, they are traitors to the King of Kings. How can I claim to be a dedicated and loyal subject to the king and befriend these ones who are traitors to my king? I can't do that. I can't be close friends with them and support what they do. So David is saying the congregation or assembly of evildoers who have another gospel that is no gospel at all. Who wants to spread their prickly seed? Who wants to carry that wrong teaching far and wide? Any manner of false and unbiblical teaching, we should not sit with them. And today, we can go on internet so easily. We can listen to the prosperity gospel. We can listen to the gospel of works. We can listen to the gospel without Christ. We can listen to the gospel without holiness. And we realize that there is much wrong teaching all over the world. And David is saying, I'm not going to enjoy the world's delicacies. That behavior that they do, it gives them away. It discloses who they really are. And yes, we have the bad congregation, we have the error, but there's a true congregation. There's the good people, there's the right people, the people who value the word of God. It's not prickly seed. They have the pure seed of the word of God, the true seed, the congregation of the upright, the congregation of the righteous, the holy ones that love the Lord, the ones that they come to the table of the Lord and they eat the bread from heaven. David says, I'll never leave those true ones. I'm not going to go to those false, prickly ones. Let me ask you a question. Would you go and sit in a Mormon temple and then go out and tell everybody what was taught? No, you would never do that. And that's what we should do. This dedication is greatly needed today. We should separate ourselves from wrong and erroneous and prickly seed that sticks to us. We should never be spreaders of wrong teaching, associated and or linked to them, or allied with them, or involved with them. Spurgeon makes a note that we must watch our companionship, who we sit with in this world, because the company we treasure and keep in this world is very likely to be our company in the next world. I don't want to end up sitting with the scornful in eternity. Verse 6, I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar, O Lord. And the phrase, I will wash my hands in innocence, as I go before your altar. We could say, I will prepare my heart. I will walk in a way which brings honor to my Father. I will repent of known sin. I will dedicate myself to live a pure and a godly life. I desire to reflect Christ-likeness. We must be dedicated and take great care to be personally cleansed, to have personal holiness in our lives. I don't want to be unfit for God's service. I want to be fit. Our eye must be upon being a bright and a shining testimony for the Lord. Let me try to give you an example. Say a shop owner or a businessman is trying to be a good witness for Christ, but it's known all over Nanyuki that they are dishonest and always try to cheat people. And they're greedy for money, and they are known to have no moral backbone. They would even cheat their own mother or father. How can such a one go about God's business? How can such a one be a bright and a shining testimony? No, they can't. And we must watch our life that it is pure. We must watch our life that it is dedicated to God. I wash my hands of shameful things. I will not partake of shameful things that will bring my testimony to disrepute. I will walk uprightly. I dedicate myself to the Lord's service. I wash my hands in innocence. Verse 7, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. His offering to the Lord, David's offering to the Lord, is an offering of thanksgiving. It's a song of gratitude. And this is the offering of a spiritual worshiper. But also, I'm going to let it be seen among people. I'm not only going to be doing this in my private time. I'm going to praise you publicly. I'm going to be thankful for what God has done for me. I will tell of his wondrous works. I'm dedicated to being in tune with the Lord, always making his wonders known, always thankful, always praising. You know, someone who praises, it provides a strong and a clear testimony. Don't we like to see somebody that's always so grateful to the Lord, that always has a testimony of the wonderful things that the Lord has done? It lifts everything. And David says, I'm going to be like this. I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving. I'm dedicated to doing it. I'm dedicated to being thankful. I'm dedicated to bringing glory to my Lord. Oh, we must try to hurry. Lord, I've loved, verse 8, Lord, I've loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. I love your habitation. Now, it's not talking about a physical place. It's talking about the place of his presence, fellowship with God. I'm not interested in entering the abode of sin. I'm not interested in partaking of sin. I'm interested in a place where God is honored. I'm interested in a place where his name is lifted high. And David longs for and is dedicated to the place where God's word is preached, where God is worshiped. And he says, I've loved to worship. I love to honor his name. It's precious to me. He says, I love the people of God, and I'm dedicated to the house of God. Oh, we must be dedicated to the house of the Lord, to the brethren amongst us. This is so vital, that the love, brotherly love, be seen amongst us. Verse 9, do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men. I read this line in one of the very old commentaries. Do not enfold me in the same ruin and curse as sinners. He didn't want to be identified with the wicked. He didn't want to be numbered with the wicked. He didn't want to just live day by day the same way that they did. And neither did he want to be, in the hour of his death, he didn't want to end up gathered with the sinners. He doesn't want to end up gathered as fruit is gathered and put into baskets. He says, put me not in the same basket, even as the best sinner. I don't want to be in that basket. Put me not in the basket, even with the worst of them. Sin is so distasteful to me. This is what David is saying. Sin is distasteful to me. I can't bear the thought of being with those sinners. I don't want to be with them. And especially, I don't want to be bound up with them in all eternity. I don't want to go to that. Nor with bloodthirsty men who don't care. Don't care how many die in their bloodthirsty activities, as long as they get what they want, like Absalom. David is saying, I'm dedicated to the godly and the true ones, not to sinners. I'm dedicated to the house of the Lord. I can't bear the thought of being with those people whose hands are full of mischief and whose hands are full of bribes. Let the one who gives many bribes, I read this in Spurgeon's commentary, the one who gives bribes, let him remember this, that when the hour of death comes, he cannot bribe death. When the hour of judgment comes, his bribe will be of no effect at all. No bribe will postpone death, and no bribe will keep anyone from eternal doom. Oh, David says, I'm not going to be like that. Gather not my soul with those ones whose hands are full of bribes. Verse 11, but as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. David is saying, as for me, Lord, I've chosen the plain path of righteousness, the narrow road, not the broad road. I'm dedicated to it. Even if no one else is walking on this road, I will walk on this road. Be merciful to me, O Lord. Help me, Lord. I know it's not my strength that I can walk on this road. I need your mercy. I need your help. Redeem me, O Lord. Help me to walk on this road. I trust you to keep me on this road. Keep me on the path, Lord. Even if I'm I'm like a fish swimming against the stream, I will swim against the stream. I am committed to this way, Lord. I am dedicated to this way, Lord. Even if everyone else is going another way, I will go the way of righteousness. That's what David is saying. And that's the Christian dedication. I will not go with the way of the world. I will go with the way of God and his kingdom. I will swim against everything that's ungodly. Everything. I know that my own integrity is frail. I know that I depend only upon his mercy. I resort to the mercy of the blood of Jesus Christ. His mercy, his blood, pardons all my sins, all my mistakes. I resort to the throne of mercy every step of my path. Every step of my path, I ask for mercy. I'm committed to this. I'm continuously looking to the Lord. That's the dedication that it is speaking of. And then finally, in verse 12, the closing verse, My foot stands in an even place. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord. The song started in sadness. It started with people criticizing him, finding fault with him, great difficulty. He's saying, "Vindicate me, Lord." But now it ends in great joy. Great joy. The even place on which my foot stands is God's covenant of faithfulness, his promises which are sure, his promises which are true. He shall never leave me. He shall never forsake me. And this is the foundation, the level ground that can never be shaken, that we are standing upon. Therefore, I stand not trusting myself. I stand dedicated to you, O Lord, trusting you alone, having confidence in you alone. God has provided us with these aids, these remembrances, which we need to dedicate ourselves to and stand in. A life of dedication is built upon constant trust in God. Never trust in our ability, but trust in God's ability. And then it will result in, let me give you in closing a summary. Let me read them. There are 10 points of dedication. Dedication. As a Christian, I must be dedicated to integrity, to trusting and being watchful. Number 2, dedication of heart and mind, dedicated to trust God. Number 3, dedication to meditation upon God's word, thinking on his word day and night. And then number 4, dedication to separation from corrupt influence. Corrupt influence, television, scrolling to unwholesome things. Dedication to truth and godly fellowship. Dedication to personal holiness. Dedication to thankful worship and testimony, that when God answers prayer, I'm thankful and I testify of his goodness. And then number 8, dedication to the house of God and fellow believers, to our local church and fellow believers. Dedication to a godly identity, to being recognized as a true Christian and having an eternal destination, which is in the light and not in the darkness. And then finally, dedication to be sustained by mercy, to be sustained by his loving kindness, dependence on God's mercy and faithfulness. Amen.